I'm ignorant, but I pretend to know a lot when we're talking about it.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we discuss prog rock with Vermin Kickstarter Mark Monforti. We discuss all things progressive, all things rock, and all things awesome.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hey.
And Tim Wick.
I am Tim Wick.
This is true. And today we are joined by our second Vermin Kickstarter supporter, Mark Monforti.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yes, there he is. That's great. Thank you, Mark. We're so happy to have you.
We didn't ask how to pronounce your name. Did we get that right?
Yeah, you got it right.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, that's because I'm really good at names, except when I'm not.
End up being humble.
Yeah.
So, Mark, you donated to the Vermin Kickstarter.
That's correct.
Which, thank you very much. Helped support some amazing puppet web series.
Super amazing. I was actually at the set this weekend, and it's looking really good.
Very excited to check it out, actually.
I got to tell you, this is like one of those secret, because, you know, you're a super secret Kickstarter person. Ooh. This is like secret inside information. We had a scene written where the main rat character is trying to learn how to put ships inside bottles. And the scene was written so that the rat ends up inside the bottle instead of the ship inside the bottle. Uh-huh. And we originally had to cut that scene because they couldn't figure out
how to do it.
But then they figured it out. So they shot that scene on Saturday.
And that's exciting.
Like, it's so awesome. I'm so excited.
That's so
it has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about.
But that's all right.
But
so,
seriously, rats in bottles. Come on, isn't that great?
So we have a couple things to talk about. First of all, it's very important for you to know that this is one of our first forays into music geekery on Geeks Without God. But we're going to get to that in a minute. Mark, I wanted to ask you, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you come to be a geek? How did you come to be godless?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I went to all Catholic schools. I'll even mention them here. I'm not really a privacy advocate. Went to St. Hilary's, Lyell Academy, Lyell University, DePaul. And my parents asked me, you know, we raised you to be Catholic and then look at what happened type of thing. They don't really have a problem with it, per se.
Kind of jokingly.
Yeah, kind of jokingly. They really don't have a problem with it, but... you know, it's interesting. Lyell Academy, they're run by Jesuits, and I really respect the Jesuits to a certain degree. The first day of religion class in freshman year, my teacher, Mr. Yuncer, said, "You know all that religion you learn in first to eighth grade? It's all bullshit." And I was like, "What? What?" And what's I've never heard a teacher swear before. I was actually a year ahead, so here I'm a 12.
Yeah,
I'm short, and you know, and I look like I'm 8 at the time, and I'm completely freaking out right now. And basically, they told us that we are not going to the Bible is not a history book. And we are going to teach you about what's important about the Bible. And we talked a lot of things like, I would say, one thing I can think of, I mean, this is a long time ago. This is 81 we're talking about now, because I'm that old, is moral development. And the six stages of moral development it was. And, you know, and the top one was Jesus's word, which is, be good for goodness sake. Don't be good because you're afraid you're going to go to hell.
Right.
Or that's what 3-year olds.
So Santa says what, too. So I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
Right.
I wonder where Santa learned it. I don't know.
Yeah.
So basically, they kind of undid everything from the first 8 years of St. Hilary's, and they reconstructed it. And I never really fully felt a need for theology after that. I figured that it really came to – I'm a computer programmer. It really came down to logic for me. And I said the human brain cannot understand infinities and what's going to happen. So why am I even worried about it? I'll have to find out later.
Yeah,
you know?
No, that's great.
And of course, you know, all those 16 years of Christian schools and the you know, I was always just a step ahead of the pedophilia, it seemed like. So that was nice that I missed all that. But we had problems.
Well, congratulations on that. And, well done.
Yeah, yeah, you really dodged that penis.
Yeah.
I was gonna say bullet, but
yeah. In college, we had one guy that ultimately had some improprieties with girls, and always made me think, if I was a writer for The Onion, I would say, you know, that the church has found a bunch of priests that were molesting little girls, and the Pope calls it a step in the right direction, you know. So, so that was that's oh my one comedic line.
That's
I'll let
amazing.
You guys be the comedians from on.
All right, that, well, no, that's right. That's yeah. brilliant.
Terrible and amazing.
I, yeah, DePaul in Chicago.
That's right. Yeah, I'm in Chicago. I'm overlooking. I'm really close to O'Hare Airport, actually.
Oh yeah. So
in Chicago.
Are you born in Chicago or?
Yeah,
or
I've been here my whole life since '66.
I can't remember. Is the you're off the orange line or the blue line?
I'm the blue line,
yeah.
actually. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Just a couple stops. I would take it every day.
Years, but I always had to fly out of O'Hare, and then the one time I had to fly out of Midway, it was like, oh my God, this train is taking me somewhere to murder me. Where are we?
I take it every day. It's pretty safe, you know.
Oh no, so, no, it was so more. Far. It was more about. I wasn't worried about people on the train. More like
oh,
the train itself. Like it was some kind of murdering Stephen King train because it was pulling me out in the middle
rational.
Of nowhere.
Yeah,
up.
Wow, that makes sense. It's interesting,
you know,
how you went right
before
there
we get into our train, topic, but... there was a question raised the other day, and you're in Chicago, so maybe you know this answer. So,
okay.
In Chicago, about a week and a half ago, there were a bunch of people that protest the Trump rally. And somebody
yes.
asked on Facebook why everybody was protesting the Trump rally, but nobody protests all the violence and murders that happen in Chicago on a daily basis. And I'm wondering, did you have an answer
Jesus,
for that?
Tim.
Wow. That's you know, it's funny.
Just
I saw that
banter to start
in the
things
loop
off.
There.
Answer for Chicago.
Well, it seemed really important. People
yeah, okay.
were asking, this is
well,
the first Chicago
no,
I'm talking
nobody's
to.
Voting for the murderers is the thing.
Oh.
And we've got 40% of the people in the state voting for this guy, maybe. I don't even know what the number is. It's got to be over 25%, though.
Hmm.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I, it's, as the one, among my friends having lived in Chicago for an entire 3 years, I often have people asking me questions about Chicago, like, well, you lived in Chicago. What do you think they're thinking about
yeah.
this? And I'm like,
well, you lived in Chicago. Why do they hate pizza there?
I'm like, I don't know. I just sort of stayed in my apartment. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, you lived in Chicago. Why weren't you murdered?
Because I'm just too damn pretty.
It's a big city. And if you stay away from about 5 miles, you'll be fine.
Yeah, it is a big city. And try, though, I might have to get murdered. No one was interested, Tim.
It's
so thanks
shame.
For bringing that up.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to bring up such a painful
I tried
subject.
Really hard. I got drunk. I wandered the streets.
You're like, somebody murder me.
If it had been Whitechapel in 1888, I would have been dead in a day.
That's right.
Because you're a whore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, hey, Mark, I'm sorry about all that.
No problem. No problem.
So, you have a passion for prog rock, progressive rock.
That's correct.
That's what you're nerdy about. It's your nerd boner.
Yeah, it is a bit of a nerd boner. I would say I have all the traditional nerd boners.
Sure.
And I'll add music to my list, which is something I thought about being very, very – let's just say, you know, so nerdism maybe is somebody that likes something to a higher degree than most people.
Yeah.
But I think actually that prog rock is something that nerds like, that they may not get nerdy about it. But when I go to concerts and when I go to Gen Con and I see the T-shirts,
yep.
There's definitely a correlation between progressive rock and people that are nerds, I
oh,
would say.
I completely agree. Like my dad's a huge nerd, and he's who got me into prog rock. And like it's a lot of the weird, expansive wizard dragon kind of like big concepts.
Right.
You know, battle between good and evil. You know, all
right.
this, all the stuff you find in your best nerd literature is in some of the best prog rock.
Right, and it's going on today, just as it was before. It's just that. Because radio stations are in the, you know, they try to cater to the lowest common denominator.
Right, that's
you
what
only
is.
Hear songs, exactly, you only hear songs that are 3 minutes long, 4/4 time signatures. So at progrock.com, you know, we're trying to keep this thing alive, which it's that's a little bit melodramatic. I mean, we're getting the word out is what I should say, because sure. It needs to be heard. There's a lot of people. What frustrates me is there's a lot of people that would like it, but don't know it exists. And so that's why I'm happy to talk about it today with you guys.
Well, you know, my experience with progressive rock, with prog rock, started in college, and I feel, you know, my particular point of view is really what we need to do is get more kids to go to college, because that's where they learn about. I mean, and I'm joking, yeah. but I'm not. I think there's this tendency when you put a bunch of kids together and they're not just hanging out at home. You know, they've got other stuff to do. They start talking about things that interest them, and it's where I got into the music that would be the music that I listen to for the rest of my life. Not all prog rock. Mm-hmm. I mean, right. College was where I got into U2. It's where I got into REM. It's where I got into the Indigo Girls, which dates me a lot. But those were the bands that were popular in college, and they may have become more popular later. But I was, you know, I was the hipster at the time. I was into those bands before they were cool. And also, there was progressive rock. I mean, it's weird. I mean, I was in college in the mid-80s, but the first time I ever heard, like, Bohemian Rhapsody was in college.
Right.
Because I was a theater major. And everybody in theater, you may not know this, but literally everybody who's in theater has to love Bohemian Rhapsody. It's there's actually, like, a contract that you have to sign, and it's in the small print, and I didn't read it. It's my own fault.
Right.
It's my own fault.
Right.
But, so you're talking about how, you know, and you mentioned in your email to us that you feel like a lot of people who love, you know, some of the classics like Yes and Rush and Pink Floyd, if they knew that this kind of music was still being made. I, for one, so there was this band that it was popular. We have a local radio station here called The Current, which is public radio. And it used to be a lot cooler than it is. And so they used to take a lot more chances, and then they started having to compete more with the Clear Channel type stations.
Right.
So now they, you know, their rotation is heavier and they're not doing the deep cuts or the weird bands. But there's this band called Wild Beasts, which was really similar to the Mars Volta in that it had like operatic style vocals and just bizarre lyrics. And I loved it. And all these people I knew who loved Pink Floyd and we're saying that it was too weird. And I was like, man, this is what that is. Like, don't you see? Like,
yeah, there is a problem with a lot of people that you know, like the 70s prog, and they don't give it the same chance they gave that music back then or when they were younger, even if they heard it and later on. Because still, even though I was born in 66, I missed it all.
Mm-hmm.
It was dead by 74, 75.
Yeah.
73 is the thing that, you know, you had Fragile, Dark Side of the Moon, Genesis Selling England by the Pound.
Oh, yeah.
I was 5 years old, and, you know, that's not going to work for me. I had to learn it by the 80s. I didn't even like music until it became geeky and they had CDs.
Yeah.
And then I bought Genesis Mama, and I bought Yes 90125. And then the albums came out in backwards order, and every album got better the older it got. I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
This is amazing music to me. And I never knew about it. So
yeah, I was really lucky in that I got into music. So, I mean, I was born in 78. I got into music and like all I listened to was Cool 108, because that was what my mom listened to, which is like oldies, like 50s and 60s. So like every now and then there'd be the weird, you know, kind of cooler 60s stuff, but it was mostly like early 60s, like early Beatles and early, you know. But Sgt. Pepper was one of the first albums I heard where I was like, this is weird and beautiful. Like, what is going on with this? And I want to read a quote that I found on cracked.com. I want to hear what you think about this. It says, progressive rock is an attempt to musically orgasm as many times as possible in a 15-minute song.
Yeah, there is that. I mean, because it has. I really feel that way about a couple of songs, actually.
Right.
And I actually have a podcast called Music and Widescreen, and the reason somebody, a listener, named it for me, because he said you really like music that has these big, you know, climactic, you know, parts to it. And so I definitely agree, and it moves me like an art, like what I don't understand. When some people look at a painting and they weep, I don't get that, but I get it from music, you know. And I don't expect everybody to feel that way about music. Not even people that I think would like it, but you know, it is an art form, and we've lost that with traditional terrestrial radio, you know.
So I'm going to ask, I mean, I know traditional terrestrial, right? And it is lowest common denominator. And it's also things like you have to do commercial breaks every, you know, 15, 20 minutes and all these things that make it difficult to do that sort of thing. But, you know, with Pandora and with the satellite, with all the satellite radio stations, are there prog rock stations out there that people can find because they have so many different stations now available through some of these mediums?
Well, unfortunately, on the satellites, they're still owned by Clear Channel, so you really can't find it there. If I go to XM and I put in a band I like, it'll say it doesn't appear on any album or any station at all. I'm like, you got to be kidding. I put in like bands that there's like two or three bands that it become fairly big that they will actually air, but you only find it on internet radio stations in America anyway. I don't know if your audience. You go to England, you know, I go see these same bands that play. This little place called the Double Door here in the States, in the Chicago, and they are playing Royal Albert Hall in England, you know, because they're a little more sophisticated in their musical taste over there. So it depends. I haven't been able to find anything. So that's why we have progrock.com, and there's others that do the same thing. But you have to kind of go out there and look for it. I can't tell you how many people that I've met at around, they said, hold on, they're still making music like that, and then they become listeners, you know, and it's it happened to me, so that's kind of why I deficit spend on this radio station, because I really think it's worth to get the word out.
Mark, I'm not a music nerd at all. I have no musical ability or affinity. I like music. I listen to music a lot when I'm driving or working out or whatever, but I don't. I know what I like. Like, you know, I listen to a lot of hip hop, a lot. I listen to a lot of punk, which, you know, some might say is like anti prog rock or like a different,
very it's the other side of the spectrum.
It's
the other side of the spectrum. Yeah.
And so, like, I'm sure I have music in my, like iTunes library that is probably considered prog rock, but like, I'm not even super clear on the definition. So I picked out 5 songs from my iTunes library. Can you tell me if each one is or isn't prog rock why? Is that
A very, very weird knowledge of songs. So there's a good chance I'm not gonna know what the song is.
Well, Molly
I will be a secondary chime in if you don't know the song.
If neither you know, I haven't listened to radio since 91. I will make up the answer.
All right. So one thing I've heard is that prog rock is sometimes like operatic or big in scale, like has an epicness to it. And when I think that, I think the song Knights of Sidonia by Muse.
Oh, yeah. Muse is progressive rock.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Muse is progressive
especially
rock.
Especially Knights of Sidonia.
All right.
Yeah, okay, man.
Cool. I concur.
All right.
Yeah.
So then the next song. And this might be psychedelic rock, which I know is close.
It's the same thing.
But Disraeli Gears, like Strange Brew or Sunshine of Your Love.
That, I don't know. I don't know them.
It might just be psychedelic. See, it's
Sunshine of Your Love, like the Cream version, or is it a different song entirely?
It's the same.
It's a cover of
like
the Cream song.
It's like kind of the same people, mostly. Just
that's a pretty, so the Cream song's got, it follows the pretty standard verse, chorus, really. So, yeah. Right.
Bridge, verse, chorus. Yeah, so, that's the one thing it probably isn't.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
I also agree.
Supertramp, Goodbye Stranger.
Yeah, I would say Supertramp has its proggy moments, and I would.
I personally think a lot of Supertramp is very prog rock, but
it is like even the quietest moments I think of more so than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think Goodbye Stranger is prog.
Goodbye
rock.
Stranger, I think, does the more verse chorus bridge verse chorus.
Yeah, too formulaic to be.
That's why I didn't hear it on the radio. It's more poppy.
All right. So is something that is more poppy is like going to be count. It's not going to fit into the definition of progressive rock because it fits a pop formula.
Probably. Now, you know, this is something that a conversation I don't like having with progressive fans, because that's all it go, just, well, you just want to go nuts and it'll happen.
Like all nerds, they love to passionately argue minutiae.
Strong opinions.
This is a great conversation here, though. But if it's basically, if it's a 4/4 time signature, it's verse, chorus, bridge, verse, chorus, then it is, it's probably not progressive rock. And think about the Beatles. You know, they started off with Love Me Do, very poppy, and then they blew it open with Sgt. Pepper. You know, and
White
and,
Album, and
and the, you know, and the white, everything after that. It's basically Sgt. Pepper and 21st Century Schizoid Man are the beginning of it. So
if I have a song that is fairly formulaic, but I know it's not a 4/4 time signature.
Okay.
And that'd be Pumped Up Kicks by Foster the People.
That's, do not know it.
It's,
that is a 4/4 time signature, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right, you're right. Okay, okay.
Kicks,
and then, and then lastly, I think this is a gimme, because I think, but this is all just what I have, Cosmic Debris. Is Frank Zappa progressive rock?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Okay. This guy's on Steve Allen playing a bicycle, you know, I mean, that is the essence of progressive rock. It was actually progressing the music to something other than what you heard from the beginning of time.
How is that progressive? Everybody else was driving cars. I don't understand.
So that's okay. That kind of answers the question. Progressing it musically, progressing it artistically.
Whereas like punk broke it down.
Sure.
Like, and punk went the other way. They want, I want emotion. I don't need musicianship. You know,
Right.
You think of Yes with like a song like Tempest Fugit or Starship Troopers, so difficult to play, or even Genesis with, it was so tough to play, they wouldn't even play, Tony Banks wouldn't even play the opening live. They went emotion instead of all this noodling. And it totally makes sense. But then you get Green Day comes with American Idiot.
Yeah.
And then you've got it both. You got
punk. Is Green Day prog rock?
I would say
American
certainly
Idiot
punk.
American Idiot is.
Yeah.
And it's another thing, it's got a whole storyline.
Yeah, I love American Idiot so much.
The album tells a story, which is a big part of it.
Right. Anyway. Right. And it's Jesus Suburbia is 9 minutes long. It got on the radio.
Yeah.
It's unheard of today.
Well, and like the thing I think too is that you know, but what punk was like, I bet I can make your ears bleed and make you feel something with three chords. And like barely a verse and barely a chorus. A chorus that's basically just us shouting oi oi oi. And
I feel like so punk and hip hop, I think, have something in common, and that's that people that aren't classically trained in an instrument, who are societally or economically disadvantaged, trying to get out their frustration and get out their message and their anger or you know, whatever, represent their people and their community, but they you know, might not have ever had piano lessons or formal guitar lessons or whatever, and so they figure out how to make their own music with the resources and what's at hand, and so it, but I feel like anything that's super unfinished and raw, you can take to an extreme level with talent or with you know, artistry. So there's no reason, is there any reason any musical genre couldn't be exclusive from progressive rock if you're just adding that level of complexity and talent?
Yeah, I agree. I love that question, because progressive rock isn't anything on its own, really. It's you know, it could be the Decemberists was just really progressive folk.
And you know,
and you get Hazards of Love.
God, that's
an amazing
album.
Oh,
that
my God,
insane.
I saw that live.
I've got tracks off that album where I'm like, oh, I know this is about to end. And it's just like the cutoff of the track of you know, the song is just a bunch of people going, oi, 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 oi. And then it just ends and goes to the next song. And you're like, oh, all right.
Right. Well, of course, then he kills all his children in that album as well, too. So
that's
always
song.
A nice visual.
Yeah. I played that song in a Fearless Lab.
Yeah, he did. That's right.
So here's an interesting and maybe a divisive in your circles question. I was looking at TroubleZine.com, and they had listed, 10 great modern prog rock albums, and they included Kanye West's My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
I did see that, and I've been meaning to listen to that.
Yeah. They said that the reasons were mostly the production, and that they that honestly he's I guess he samples pretty heavily from King Crimson and Manfred Mann.
Interesting.
I know, and I'm familiar with the song Power off that album, which I love, but I would never have considered it to be progressive. So I don't know if you had if you'd heard anything.
Now I need to listen to that album, and it's interesting because the guy I work with, Kawan, he is one of these guys. You know, he was raised in New York in a neighborhood, not a great neighborhood. Didn't get a college degree. Great computer programmer, and he loves his favorite album. He loves Pink Floyd, and he all he does is listen to rap when he's coding. But his favorite band ever is Pink Floyd. And yeah. I have to figure out what you like because I need to cross pollinate with you. And so he's supposed to give me that album.
Yeah, I would love to hear if he thinks that it's Floyd-esque because. Yeah. I mean, I know that it was pretty divisive in the hip hop world in the sense that it was considered like, you know, it's Kanye being Kanye. It's him dreaming big and overstepping
well,
in a way.
God damn it, Molly. He's a musical genius.
He is,
so.
He is a musical genius.
As long as he's not singing
it's
Bohemian
too bad,
Rhapsody.
It's too bad he knows it.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Well, this has been really enlightening. I thank you so much.
Thank you.
It is time to move on to five questions.
Five questions.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I think so.
All right. So we'll start with Nick and question one.
Question number one is, what's a movie you'll stop and watch anytime it's on? And obviously that in the time of Netflix and Hulu and on-demand stuff, it's more like a movie, you know, you could have on in the background at any time.
Well, it's a weird one. Defending Your Life, actually. Oh, you guys seen Defending Your Life?
Yes, that's a great movie.
You know, it's kind of like it's a Woody Allen type movie without Woody Allen in it, and so my wife can watch it.
Oh yeah.
But it's amazing the scene where he goes and talks about when Nick Diamond, which is played by Rip Torn, is telling him about what's going on. He's like, "So I'm on trial for being afraid." You know, well, first of all, we don't like to call it a trial. Second of all, yes, you know that type of thing. Yep. Get that. He pulls off that line so well, and I just thought it's kind of like how I want the afterlife to be. So maybe that's why I like that movie.
It's that standard, Nick. It's that standard. You died, and now you have to explain all your actions and why you should go to heaven and not hell.
Huh?
Kind of a
it's
thing.
It's basically you can't move on to the next level until you.
Yeah. What's funny is you said Rip. This has been a problem I've had my whole life. You say Rip Torn, and I picture Rip Taylor.
Yeah.
That's not the same guy.
Really unfortunate.
Very different.
That's not the same guy.
Exactly.
Okay, question number two. What is your geekiest or most prized possession?
Oh, I think Molly might like this one. I have the largest Geek Chic table they make.
Oh God! Yes,
and I have a drawer. Now you're really gonna like this, Molly. I've got a drawer just for my cards from Fantasy Flight.
Oh, seriously?
So it's a card. It's got five rows. It's custom made just because I got in a board gaming via Talisman, and so I got all the and then I noticed that Relic had the same cards.
Yep.
And sizes, I should say.
Yeah.
And what's another one I play? It's a cooperative game with dice. Elder Sign. Thank you.
That's my favorite game we make.
Oh, yeah.
Other than
good.
Mine.
nice.
A friend of ours and guest friend of the podcast, Mark Sherman, the friend of ours who is our Marvel Netflix binge watch buddy, he made his own table because he's an IT guy at an arts college, so he has access to all the equipment and everything there, and he made his own living room like dining table with a inset with like five removable panels to have, you know, games stowed away inside the table.
Yeah.
And it's like a really nice homemade geek chic knockoff.
He did say what was so hard was the shrinkage of the wood and the varnish and everything else.
Yeah.
Like, so I mean,
everything to fit together after production when finishing it.
He said he completely understands the cost of the, or I should say the price of the geek chic tables now that he's made his own.
Someday.
Yeah.
Someday.
They had a little trouble getting a drawer in actually when they delivered it.
Oh,
to tell you the truth. So yeah.
My God, well, that's amazing.
We have a friend who's, I think he works for Amazon these days out in Seattle, he's got one. That was his like signing bonus present to himself.
So good. Nice. Yeah. So I want you guys to.
So when you come to Chicago, I want you guys to come over and game with me.
All right.
Awesome.
Challenge accepted.
All right, cool.
Question three. Which supernatural, magical, religious, or all-powerful being do you wish was real?
This one I have trouble with, but I haven't heard anybody say this, and I'm kind of surprised in the 12 episodes that I've heard. I really wish the doctor was real.
Ooh, I don't, that's a good know. One.
As long as he didn't show up where you were, because if he shows up where you are, there's something that's about to go horribly wrong.
Not if you're the companion.
But like, what if making the doctor real doesn't make everything else in Doctor Who real?
Yeah.
But just as long as we're not like inviting in, you know, Daleks and Cybermen and all that shit, the doctor himself would be pretty benign.
But he'd also be pretty fucking bored, wouldn't he?
No. He could help us with Trump.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh! Your help is with Bernie. We got Bernie going.
That's a great answer.
Question number four: say religion is gone. So, what's the biggest problem that humanity now faces?
Well, you know, when I first heard that, the first thing that came to my mind was that thespian and lesbian sounds so similar because I end up getting excited at really inappropriate times, but.
You get really hard for plays.
Yeah, I'm like, why is that? Okay.
And then you're like, no. Girls who only like girls, no thanks.
But for me, it's a very personal one, I'll say, is actually the designated hitter. I hate the designated hitter. And I think without religion, I'm a little bit more optimistic than your previous guest. I think that a lot of things would go away.
But the designated hitter would be a problem.
The designated hitter would still be a problem.
Tim, so that would be my biggest problem. I don't like the designated hitter. And I'm a big baseball fan.
I'm not the biggest baseball fan ever, but what I'm going to say is we live in an American League town.
I know. I've seen photos of you guys.
You're in Chicago. You've got American League something? And National League. Yeah.
So wait.
Basically,
hey,
it means I know better. The designated hitter. That's what American League
hang
means.
On. So wait, I'm familiar with the other controversial baseball rule, and that's the infield fly rule. And I agree that that's bullshit. Why is the designated hitter?
Yeah, what's the designated hitter?
Is that just a guy who does is swing a bat and someone else does everything else?
This is going to be really quick. Okay, so. It's basically the main difference between the American League and the National League in baseball. So,
cool.
In the National League,
I don't know what those are.
In the National League, basically you've got 9 people in the field and then 9 people who bat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the 9 people who are in the field are the 9 people who hit.
Right.
Okay. Pitchers can't hit for shit.
Sure.
And they really can't. So in the National League, the pitchers are part of the batting rotation, which means. Every time you get to that point in the rotation, you probably aren't going to get a guy on base.
On account of how he is usually a belly itcher.
On account of his ability.
Right.
In the American League, they're like, you know what? The pitcher can't hit. So rather than forcing you to actually strategize around the fact that the pitcher can't hit,
mm-hmm.
we're just going to solve that problem by eliminating the pitcher from the rotation and allowing you to insert somebody called the designated hitter, whose only job is to hit the baseball in place of the pitcher.
And then the pitcher runs?
Nope. No.
Who runs?
He runs the bases.
The hitter.
So it's just a replacement in the batting order for the pitcher.
So really he's a designated batter who also does the running.
Hitter, same thing.
Yeah.
Unless it's NFL, then they're all
They used to call me
batters.
The designated runner in high school pickup games in gym class because they would make me do the running for everybody who couldn't run.
That's a pinch runner. Mm. And that's different. And you could do that.
That explains all the pinching.
The reason the rule exists, though, is because of racism, if you didn't realize that. In the National League, they got rid of they integrated. The American League, they kept the gentleman's rule around. And 20 years later, when they had no stars left and they were desperate to keep their white players on the field – they came up with a designated hitter. And
that's our league is the racist one?
Our league is the racist
one. Well, that's a long time ago.
Awesome.
It's the 50s and the 60s.
Oh, my God. We're not usually the racist anything.
it's something from Ken Burns Baseball in inning 9. And
interesting.
If you think of all the Hall of Famers that were...
Even if you're not into baseball, Ken Burns Baseball is amazing because...
Well, Ken Burns.
Such a good historian that you're like,
that's fantastic.
That's fascinating. All right, question 5.
Okay.
Indeed.
What is
your
favorite...
Sorry for the...
No,
that
was amazing.
Okay. All right, Dieter, what is your favorite quote?
Oh, wow, that's a tough one. I forgot about that question. you know, I'm going to actually... I'm going to actually stick on the baseball theme. This is kind of weird. But Ernie Banks always said, let's play two. And it's just so optimistic. And no matter how bad the teams that he was on, I thought that it's just something that I try to live by. So I'm going to go with that. Let's play two.
Let's play two.
Let's play two.
TWO?
TWO. Because nice. Double, you know, you like the doubleheader.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter the weather.
I'm having a good time. Let's do it again.
Yeah, we're in eighth place, but I love it here. I love what I do. You know, so
that's a great note to end on. You are the more positive guest.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mark Monforti. Had you here talking about prog rock, your brief bout with Catholicism fixed by a teacher and baseball
fixed by a Catholic teacher
fixed by a well a Jesuit. I mean, come on, Tim, calm down.
Yeah.
thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for supporting Vermin and. Just for being a fan, we have been Geeks Without God. You can follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, keep up with us on all sorts of medias and Stitcher and iTunes and rate us, and go to progrock.com and you know, listen to some examples of this. If you're not familiar, if you are familiar and you love prog rock, please give us some comments. I would love to hear what you think some of the best modern prog rock is. You know, give Mark some bands he should listen to since he hasn't listened to the radio since 1991.
That's true. And I would like to know if anybody thought that getting a booth at Gen Con would be worthwhile, even if it wasn't in the main area. I'd like
for
to
you
get
guys?
Comments on that.
Yeah, huh? Please let us know. I'll ask around at work. You know, I think Gen Con, you know, it's only getting bigger, and it sounds like going forward from, I think they said 2020 is when their lease is up, and they might move out of Indiana because of their shitbird governor.
Yes.
So
I'm actually not staying in a hotel there. I'm actually driving there for one day and getting out of there.
We as a company, we don't go there as often anymore, so I won't be going. But it'll be really great. Make sure, guys, make sure that you check us out at both Die Laughing, April 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Yeah, we'll be doing two live shows on the 9th.
We have two live shows on the 10th, Saturday.
Saturday is the 9th.
Is it? So then it's the 8th, 9th, and 10th. So we'll be there Saturday, whatever day that is. Doesn't matter. Fucking show up on Saturday. Two live shows. They're going to be great. We're going to be making Melissa Kerscher our first guest ever.
After getting her married.
She's going to get married. And then also we have our 200th episode show. Which is going to be live April 16th at the Bryant Lake Bowl. You can buy tickets for that right now. I suggest buying them soon. It is most likely going to sell out. We got all kinds of great stuff. Jeremy Messersmith and Barb Abney will be our guests, plus some special guests and a few surprises for you. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks again to Monkborn40. Please like us and just, you know, validate
just
us.
Just in general.
Just in
please
general.
Like us.
Just really like us. Guys, I just really need this one. Bye.
This song is 20 minutes long.
Shut up. This is the good part.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.